If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, it won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven, yeah, are on the hands that hold you now. Not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
One day there'll be no more waiting left for our souls. One day there'll be no more children longing for home. One day when the kingdom comes right here where we stand, we will see the promised land. One day there'll be no more lives taken too soon. One day there'll be no more need for a hospital room. that falls will be wiped by his hand, and we will see the promised land. Hallelujah. Our skin won't cause a divide. One day we'll be family standing hand in hand, and we will see the promised land.
Set free, my God, my Savior. Dressed in black, the preachers say life goes too fast. The memories have turned to tears, thinking back on all the years. I know that you're in a better place, but I'm still here missing you today. It isn't easy to say goodbye, but I know it's only for a little while. Run up ahead and I will catch up, 'cause I'm gonna see you when tomorrow comes on the other side, on the other side. Bet you feel you're finally home, running down those streets of gold. The kind of peace you can't explain, looking into Jesus' face. I know that you're in a better place. I know I'll be joining you someday. It isn't easy to say goodbye, but I know it's only for a little while. Run up ahead and I will catch up, 'cause I'm gonna see you when tomorrow comes on the other side. All the day long. Ooh. 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 It isn't easy to say goodbye, but I know it's only for a little while. Run up ahead and I will catch up, 'cause I'm gonna see you when tomorrow comes on the other side, on the other side, on the other side, on the other side.
down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Good morning. Morning. I believe we can get started with today. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful that you all are here today. Let's open up with prayer and then we can read the obituary. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this glorious day, Lord, and this celebration of life that we have here for David, Lord. We just ask that you test the hearts here, Father God, not just through the music, but also through the message and whatever else you have planned for today, Lord. We just believe that people's hearts will they'll be yielded to you, Lord, to be able to receive your word on the good soil, Father God. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. David Neal Dryling, age 65 of Antonino, Kansas, passed away Sunday, August 14th, 2022 at Hayes Med. He was born on November 21st, 1956 in Hayes, Kansas, to Anthony Francis and Lillian Marie Sander Dryley. He graduated from TMP Marion High and attended college. David married Georgie Lockman on July 30th, 1980 in Hayes. David was a driller in the oil fields, working for Discovery Drilling for several years. He was known to be a very patient person, willing to put others ahead of himself. He enjoyed landscaping and was an avid gardener and was a member of Westview Church. David is survived by his wife, Georgie of Antonino, a daughter, Randy Dryling, Darren Lindenberger of Hayes, a brother, Russell Dryling, Tammy of Hayes, two sisters, Ann Price, Charles, of Wichita, and Lori Fleener Lee of Hayes, as well as a granddaughter, Lacey. He was preceded in death by his parents and a sister, Kathy Rogers. Memorial service held here at 11 a.m. here with Pastor Tim officiating. And David's memorial contributions are suggested to the Humane Society of Hayes Plains. Services in care of Brock Keithley's Funeral Chapel. I see a lot of familiar faces here, a lot. And I'm introverted, so if I talk to you, I know a little bit about it. See Josh, Lori and Lee Fleener, always been a blessing in my life. Randy, used to come here to 180 back in the day. I'm just so thankful to be able to do this memorial service. Mary. We used to work at the Hayes Daily. See, did I talk much then, back then, Mary?
No,
I didn't. But see, I knew her. Here we go.
driving out through the windmills, and some of them were still. Sometimes it's hard to catch the wind and bend it to your will. Even though it's hard to know just how the story ends, the road is long and it takes its time. On that you can depend. Lay me down in the river and wash this place away. Break me down like sand from a stone. Maybe I'll be whole again one day. Lay me down. Lay me down. Maybe I'll be whole again. Lay me down. Lay me down. Maybe I'll be whole again. Somewhere between heaven and hell, a soul knows where it's been. I want to feel my spirit lifted up and catch my breath again. Lay me down in the river and wash this place away. Break me down like sand from a stone. Maybe I'll be whole again one day. Lay me down. Lay me down. Maybe I'll be whole again. Lay me down, lay me down, maybe I'll be whole again. Lay me down, lay me down, maybe I'll be whole again one day.
Now, it talked about how Dave was a patient man. I mean, he used to help out back there when we were doing 180, and you have to have a lot of patience to work with teenagers. And he definitely had that patience. So, Philippians 1:21 says this: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." See, Paul's purpose was to glorify Christ, come what may, but the Lord Jesus was his all-consuming focus. See, he was battling between whether or not it was okay to stay here or to go on and be with the Lord, because we know that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. But he had a mission. He had a purpose. People may look at death as being something evil or wrong, but in reality, it's really a good thing. Because if you can think about all the evil dictators in the world, imagine them still being alive today. So it's a good thing that we have an expiration date for our lives. I said, but I truly believe that God gives us that time to be able to choose on whether or not we're ready to go home and be with the Lord. We make up our mind when we do that. In Psalms 115, it says this: "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The death of God's faithful ones is supremely valuable in his sight. He finds great pleasure and joy and fellowship with his children who go to be with him eternally at death because of their personal relationship with him." Knowing this, the psalmist pledged to continue praising and serving the Lord publicly, so that God's people would be encouraged to do the same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. While we live our earthly bodies here on earth, we are away from the Lord, and we have not yet really fully understand the fullness of God and his glory that will be revealed to us when we are taken into his presence." Verse 7 of this chapter talks about we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything we see right now is just temporary. It's subject to change. So we don't put our focus, we don't fix our focus on things that are temporary in this life. We put our focus on God because he's eternal. And all the promises that comes with it. If you believe that the passage, this passage right here, and are born again, when your spirit leaves this body, you will be in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but that brings comfort to my soul, knowing that I don't have to wonder what will happen once I take my last breath. I can live confidently and fully here on earth. And when I'm ready to go on to be with the Lord, I am confident that I will be with him. John 14 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you as myself, to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know," Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus was the one who created all things through his word. And he's saying, and we look at this world today and is in everything that is magnificent about it. And he's saying, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." That's not going to be some cheap, broken down, busted up, disgusted place. That's going to be a beautiful place that he's going to prepare for you. Jesus compassionately sought to calm his disciples' fears over impending departure. What words of comfort did he offer to give them confidence? He says, first, he says, "Believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, place your full trust in me, just as you trust in the Father. We are unified, sharing the same divine nature and the same divine purpose. Second, he told them that they had heavenly real estate waiting on them. You and I have heavenly real estate waiting on him if you've given your life to him. And he's going, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you." According to Jewish wedding custom, the father would add rooms unto his house for his newly married son. Jesus wasn't abandoning them, but heading out to get their eternal home ready. When your time comes, have no fear. Heaven has been prepared for you. John 14:4 says, talks about Jesus promised his disciples that they would know the way to where he was going. However, Thomas wasn't so sure. How can we know the way? It was as if he said, "You haven't given us a map, Lord." But Thomas had misunderstood. The way isn't a path, it's a person. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Good works alone is not enough to see God. "Well, I think I can just be good all my life. I can be good to people. I can be nice to them. I can go out and do good deeds." But that's not enough. See, Jesus is our measuring stick. There's not enough good that we can do. We have to receive him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from without a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Paul reminds us that the Christian death is not the end, but it's the beginning of a brand new life. Dave has a brand new life. And as a believer's death, it's not something to be afraid of, no more than the fear of taking a nap. Believers who perish will come back with Christ, which means that Christians' loved ones who pass away remain alive in him, not trapped in a grave. And after rapture, they'll return with Christ to reclaim their resurrected, eternal, glorified bodies. Not only will our busted bodies be put back together, but you and I will literally be able to walk on a cloud nine, since we will have resurrected bodies like his. And since those who are alive are those who are coming back with the Lord, this clearly proves that believers who die immediately end up going to be with the Lord. Some people do fear death because they don't know where they're going to go. They don't know where they're going to end up. They don't know if there's another life. But Jesus makes it sure there is another life. And that's the beginning of your real life. We can live however we want here on this earth, but in reality, the reason why you're here on this earth is to live for eternity, not for here. Everything you do is for eternity. That's where the goal is. So we don't focus on the temporary things, the money, the cars, all the material things. We don't put our focus on that. Our focus is in Jesus, our relationship with him. That's where it matters. He'll take care of all that other stuff. But our focus, our main focus is in Jesus. Jesus. Just as the Holy Spirit, who is our comfort in the times of distress, we are encouraged to comfort one another when someone is hurting. So when you see loved ones that are hurting, when you see loved ones that are going through certain things in times of this is a good time to just speak a good word into their lives, comfort them, hug on them. Even if it's just to sit down and just to be quiet as they begin telling you all their problems, that's a good time. Sometimes the Bible tells us to be quick to listen. And sometimes we need to be quick to listen and just kind of keep our mouth closed a little bit. And then when you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to say something, you go ahead and say something that's going to help them, not hurt them. And if you're trying to think about what, Lord, what am I going to say? I said, listen, I'm an introvert. There's sometimes I don't know what to say, but I do allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me at times. And sometimes I'm like, did that just come out of my mouth? But it ends up helping that person. And I'm telling you, when you have a personal relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, who is your comforter, your counselor, your advocate, he can give you those words to say in those times that could be comforting to everyone that is going through any kind of distress. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer. He's the answer. Dave lived a good life. And but some people believe certain things happen for a reason. No. The Bible says in John 10:10, is the thief who comes to steal, kill, destroy. And Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. To have life and to have it more abundantly. Every sin, every sickness, every disease, he bore for you so that you wouldn't have to carry it. You understand that? You don't have to live with sickness and disease in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. What the world may say, I'm dealing with this problem over here. Well, Jesus carried your grief and sorrows. You're going to have problems, but understand, it's not for you to carry. Scripture tells us to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. God wants you living a guilt-free life. You don't have to carry that stuff anymore. You don't have to carry what someone did to you 30 years ago. Let it go. If now isn't the time, when? Let that go. It's not worth it. Everyone's been hurt. Show of hands, who's never been hurt before? Everyone's been hurt. But we have to learn to let that go. You know why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. God didn't take Dave home. He received him home. That's the important thing to understand. He didn't put certain things on him to teach him a lesson. You know why? Because Jesus already bore it. God would have to apologize to Jesus for that. Why did you carry that for no reason then? He's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the restorer. He's your savior. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this message, Lord, and we just thank you for the hearts that you're continually preparing, Lord, to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for being the healer in our lives and the deliverer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
comments from the family if they wish to say something? Anyone? Huh? No? There we go. We got Josh. He's not shy.
I don't know about that. How's everybody doing? Dave's my uncle. Probably one of the things that I will remember most and always will be family functions, get-togethers, things like that. When Dave walked into the room, it was like a large presence walked in. He was not loud, like Sace, but you knew he walked in, and that laugh he had, you always knew. Dave had just the big heart and would do anything for anybody, and he just gave off that presence, and every time he walked in, it was, yeah, that's what I got.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? Come on up, Chris. You want to stay down there or come up? Okay.
I just want to say my Uncle Dave has been a part of my life since, I mean, as long as I can remember. Because I think he was around before I was born, or at least right around that time. Dave was literally just one of the most genuine and sincere men. I didn't have a lot of positive male role models in my life growing up, and Dave was always that man for me and my life. And he was just so gentle, such a sensitive guy. And, you know, my grandmother and my sister now carries on her garden. Anytime that my grandma needed help, Georgie and Dave were always over there to help her in the yard. And, you know, he would just do anything, like you said, Josh, for anybody. And he was just such a kind person. And, you know, if nobody else wants to come up, I mean, I sure want to say that he just really was one of the most genuine and sincere people that I know. And I know one thing for sure, a person's struggles do not define them. God looks upon the heart, and it isn't what goes into a mouth that defiles him, it's what comes out of the heart. And Dave was a very, very, very good man, and I know that Jesus and God have received him, like you say, with open arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Dave, as a brother-in-law, I've seen this man study the Bible. I mean, hard. I mean, he'd read it no more than most people would know about a Bible. But one thing I noticed about Dave, he never had anything bad to say about anybody. I never heard the man say something mean or derogatory toward another person. I think Dave learned that through his faith. Because you hear so much of it through the days. But I know where Dave's at. I know where Dave's at. Because I know where his faith was at. He had battles, just like all the rest of us do. Or battles that we fight through this world. But I'm pretty sure he knew where he was going, and he knew how to get there.
Dave is my uncle. My name is Faith Lockman. My Aunt Georgie's here in the front row. My cousin Randy. All the family. I love my uncle with all my heart. And I'm really grateful for all the people that came up and spoke. They're very true words. And his daughter Randy's asked me to read a small eulogy to honor her father's memory. On behalf of Randy, thank you for joining me and my family today to celebrate, remember, and honor the life of my dad. My father was one of the most patient and kind souls I've ever known. He was also the hardest worker. He showed up to work even when he didn't feel good, just to support our family and make sure we had what we needed. I look back now and think how lucky I was to be an only child and to have gotten to spend so much time with him. He was my world, and we did everything together. There was no one in the world I adored more than my dad. He was my best teacher, friend, and role model. One of my favorite childhood memories with him was when he bought me a Nintendo 64, and we played Mario 64 day in, day out, until we beat the entire game and rescued the princess from the castle. I remember us always getting so crazed when we were stuck on a specific level for so long. I can relate. I got my love of oldies, especially the Beatles, from him. I always loved watching him tend to his garden with my mom while 96.9 was blaring on the radio from a distance. They both have some of the greenest thumbs, but somehow I can't even imagine manage to keep a succulent alive. Life is so ironic. My father was one of the most influential people in my life, and I feel so heartbroken to no longer have him here with us. I wouldn't be who I am today without his love and guidance. He always told me that death wasn't goodbye, it was see you later. I love you so much, Dad. Rest in peace, and please make sure to watch over Mom and me. The family has been kind enough to let me work in a song in the service today. I had written down a few things to say about it, and Tim already said a few of them. It's kind of ironic, but there's a line in the song that says, "In brokenness I can see this was your will for me." But I want to reiterate, there is one who came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have abundant life. I personally don't believe that God just takes us when it's our time. I believe that he receives us, as has been said. I do believe that God can bring healing and restoration and even miracles through brokenness. The Bible says that in this world there will be trouble. And we all have our troubles. None of us are immune to pain. But I believe there is hope through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. And Dave had a strong faith. He talked about his faith and the love of God to anyone who would listen. The Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We will miss Dave, but I know that he is in a beautiful place and he is breathing easy with comfort and joy and restored to those loved ones that have gone before us. Thank you for the time to allow me to speak today. That's all I have. Thank you.
It's now that I feel your grace. fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain. I still believe in your faithfulness. I still believe in your truth.
Right now, I just want to extend an invitation for those who never received Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They want to do that today. It's available for me. If there's anyone here who've never received Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior, and they want to do that today, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Well, I'm going to take it another step further. How about this? If there's anyone who is suffering with any ailments in their body and wants to be healed of anything that they have going on right now, now's the time to receive it. Just raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. If you'd be brave enough to come up, please. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? It doesn't matter what it is, cancer. Jesus bore every sickness, every disease. Now, I'm not saying that because, I'm trying to be all that and a bag of chips. Every believer has this. Every believer. That's your inheritance. Yes, sir.
I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I believe that me and my father are fighting.
Well, I believe you're healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We speak to that diabetes right now in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave your body. We thank you for a healthy life. We thank you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, we thank you for a complete restoration of this body. We thank you, Jesus. Receive it.
Got it.
Receive it. In the name of Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
I've been having very, very bad leg cramps for the last 2 weeks.
Is it hurting right now?
No, at night.
At night when you sleep?
I cramp up, yes, and I can hardly walk the next day. And it's worse than it's ever been. I haven't had any for a long time.
Okay.
I can't take them. I can't sleep.
You're supposed to have bunion surgery.
Yeah, I'm supposed to do that too.
Well, Father God, we just speak to these cramps right now, these leg cramps. We thank you for blood circulating through her body like normal, Lord. We thank you for anything that is causing any kind of blockage to be removed in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you. We thank you for a successful surgery on that bunion in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just give you praise. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Just a nerve pain in my hip, left side.
Right now?
No, at night.
At night? Everything's happening at the night. Well, we just speak healing in that hip right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command it to be healed. Amen. 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 Anyone else? If you're just dealing with any kind of pain, new body parts in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Healing in your soul.
Thank you.
Peace that surpasses all understanding. He's given it to you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father God, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we are able to receive from you for what you have for us, Lord. We thank you for the life of Dave, your son, your child. We thank you for the ones that are here, Lord. We just believe that they do have a relationship with you, and they can call on you at any time, Lord. It's something that you've done for them, Lord, and we just thank you that we can just continue to go on through our life, Father God, living for you, and we know that you have prepared a place for us, and we can rest in that, in what your word says, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just closing announcements. The interment will be at Hayes Memorial Gardens. And then there will be a lunch served at the family residence at 205 West 17th Street. And everyone is welcome to come. I don't know what's on the menu, but... You don't have to tell me twice, Sarah. I will be there. Amen. You are free to go. Thank you for coming. Desert.
'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
You may